even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
So Damien, it was a great week for Holy Family, the most successful club at this year's National Boxing Elite Championships, which concluded last Saturday. So as club coach, you must have been absolutely delighted.
Oh, absolutely. Fabulous feeling for the club to have such success at Ireland's pinnacle event, the National Elite Championships. As I said to you during the week when we spoke on the phone, to win one title is a massive achievement for any club. But to get four of our five boxers into a final and then to be, successful in each bout was extraordinary.
Extraordinary indeed. And I suppose it's all about the prestige that comes with saying you have that national title, isn't it? You know, you are the national champion.
Oh, without a doubt. And anyone that has got into boxing at a young age, while these national titles as underage level, whether it be boy, cadet or under 18 level, you'd swap them all just for one elite title. It's the pinnacle of Irish boxing to perform in the national stadium on senior finals night and then to be victorious is just can't be beat. I've been fortunate enough to box at world championships, European championships, but when I talk about my own career, you have to go back to senior finals night and they can't be met. They can't be met at all.
Yeah, the atmosphere seemed to be really electric at the national stadium, just kind of looking at some of the coverage. And I know when you talk about the history of the club, there's a lot really that went into to get this to this level, and as many disappointing days to lead up to this great one achievement. Five people competing and you come home with 80% of them with gold medals. But it must make all those previous hardships must make this all the more special.
Oh, without a doubt. As I said, I've been around the club since it began in 1980. And it took a period of time before we were adding to our elite level championship wins. We had John Taunton, who won an elite championship in 1982. Then we had to wait until 1992 for Martin McQuillan, who went on and won three titles in a row. I was fortunate enough to come in then and win one in 96, 99, 2000 and 2001. But then it went a wee bit sparse for a while. We were beaten in a couple of finals up until 2021 when Eugene McKeever and Ricky Nesbitt were victorious at a national elite level. And then just to add to that, then this year to get another two as well as Ricky and Eugene was just dreams for us, as a club outside of the capital, we have probably one of the best facilities in the country. And I believe we have a great coaching structure. We have a great committee. And without the people backing us all the time, our main sponsor, OMAC Life and Pensions, have been very, very important in relation to preparation for all these championships, because the little financial contribution that this company makes to us enables us to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. And no question, it could be sponsors greatly appreciated indeed. And I think it's only right to recognise that. We talk a little bit about the five people we had competing. So of the medalists, there was Ricky Nesbitt from Dundalk, who won the flyweight crown at 48 kilos. He beat Patrick Downey on a split 3-2 decision. Then at 60 kilos was Davy Joyce, who beat Jason Nevin from Mullingar. That was 4-1. So that was the most comprehensive of the victories. And he only joined the club 8 months ago. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, Davy took a wee break from boxing. He was very close to turning professional. He was initially back when he started boxing was with Central's Town. Then he moved to Johnstown, and then he was with Ballymun for a period of time. He was then, as I say, going to turn professional, and due to the MTK farcical, I suppose, yes, coming to an end in Ireland with professional boxing, Davey decided to go back and give the amateur game another look. And he came to us looking to see, would it be possible to start off his amateur career again in the Holy Family in Drogheda?
Yeah, we certainly returned to that in a pre-second. Just to mention the other two lads who picked up golds, it was Pettystown's Chris O'Reilly, who won the middleweight at 75 kilos, and then Eugene McKeever from Mullabon, who won at 67. So, like, a wide spectrum of weights, a wide spectrum of successes. What was the key factor that put it all together?
Well, look, initially these championships were to happen at the end of November and December. I went with a bit of a plan to the committee in the club. I wanted to run a training camp in Toronto, Canada for a week. We then had an international event over in Glasgow Celtic. I was fortunate enough with, I suppose, years of experience in the game. I have a couple of contacts where I was able to get some of the boys competing in Poland, Holland, Finland. And it was all about the preparation, I suppose, to get the boys in the right shape, both physically and mentally, to perform on any given day. And that was a tough task, because these guys have families themselves, they have jobs, they travel to the club 4 or 5 days a week, and they had to buy into a process, you know. But fortunately, they have the trust in the club. They know the club have the best interests at heart. And I think in the last 7 years since Eugene McKeever joined us and Ricky, both of them have won 3 national titles apiece since they arrived. Chris O'Reilly started his career, I suppose, at the age of 7 in our club. He was supposed to be 9, but he has since told us that he was telling us a little lie. But he spent a couple of years with us, and then he went to Balbriggan. And again, Chris came back to us probably about 5 or 6 years ago in the hope that, you know, we could turn him into an elite champion. Because he's, again, nothing against Balbriggan. Balbriggan have their own clubhouse. They have their own coaches. He probably just needed a fresh change and wanted to come back to where it all began. And we would hope to think, you know, in Holy Family Boxing Club in Drogheda, outside of myself, Martin McQuillan is coaching there. He's a former international boxer and elite champion. We have Noel Hazlitt, has boxed internationally at elite level. Vasil Chikensky, boxed in different national finals. Darren O'Brien, Patrick Sarsfield, who, even in the time when I was winning Irish titles, Paddy was assisting my own father. So we have a great accumulation of coaches. And then we have a great working committee with the chairman, Jim Gorman, Barney Everett, still invested at the time in the club since it was founded in 1980.
Is it all those factors put together, the coaching structure, the committee structure, the general work ethic, is that what it is that's attracting? So you mentioned there how none of these lads have been at Holy Family all of their careers. Is that what's attracting these lads to Holy Family, knowing that they get the support to help them reach the really elite level?
Well, I think, you know, anyone that has ever visited our club rooms will realise straight away that we have one of the best gyms and boxing halls in the country. And that's down to the fact that the people in this town have at times put their hand in their pocket to provide, you know, an institute as such for all the young people to go and progress in such as in the sport of boxing. We have a great health and strength and conditioning area. We have 2 boxing rings, numerous punch bags. And we would like to think that the coaching committee that we have in place, myself, Martin, Noel, and all the boys that are giving us a hand, have shown these young lads, you know, they've all boxed at the top. They've progressed numerous boxers along the way to winning national titles. And like, even outside of the boys, we've had under 18 internationals. My own son, Adam, has boxed for Ireland in the last 12 months. And James Maguire from the town boxed for Ireland. We've a number of internationals who've progressed from underage level right up to under 18 level, and hopefully will now take over the mantle that the boys are setting over the next year or two.
Yeah, no, it sounds certainly like there's a great culture involved. You mentioned it a little bit earlier on, and I suppose this links into it as well. You know, all the preparation and the way that the clubhouse is kitted out, you know, and you did rightly acknowledge one of the sponsors. But is it a hard task to pull all this together in terms of the financial support that goes into it?
Well, I think, like, you know, financially, it's a big task even to keep the club rooms going at times. You know, we have, as I said to you, a great sponsor in all my life. We've other numerous people who've financially helped us. And I don't want to start naming names because if I forget one, I'll be in trouble. Yeah. But, you know, as I said, the main sponsor, All My Life Pensions, absolutely, without their support over the last 5 or 6 years, we've been able to offer these lads the opportunity to go to Canada, America, Poland, Scotland, England, Wales, as part of the preparation for the elites. I had different clubs coming from Sligo, Belfast, Dublin, all congregating in Drogheda for top-class sparring. And all these boxers, Dean Clancy, the two Clancy brothers from Sligo, one, Dean won the gold, his brother won silver. Michaela Walsh, gold medalist. Amy Broadhurst was down in the club. Yeah. We had Jack Marley, gold medalist. Sean Murray, gold medalist. So, you know, what we have to offer goes far and more away from just our own local lads. There's a lot of other clubs around the country are absolutely delighted to be taking part and using our facility here in Drogheda.
It's a great acumen to have that, isn't it? You know, that you think that everyone are coming from far and wide to try and use these resources. And it really is a great testament to the work that's gone in to set up the facilities. So full credit for that. Just in terms of the actual day itself at the Elite Championships, like, there was a great photo I saw after it was Davy Joyce's fight, when the referee's holding his hand aloft, Davy's flexing his muscles in delight, and you're standing behind him, standing in the corner with your own fist clenched with joy. Is it a hard thing when you have several fighters involved in a final or on finals day like that to come down off the emotion one after the other and then kind of mentally prepare yourself to give the best of yourself to the next fighter who's on a couple of minutes later or an hour later or whatever it may be, and to give them the same due care and attention?
Absolutely. Like I spoke to numerous people this week about the whole finals night, and we could even go back to semi-finals night. First of all, with Davy Joyce, after two rounds of a semi-final, we felt he was controlling the contest. But with about half a minute to 40 seconds to go of the last round, there was a clash of heads and he got a cut underneath the eyelid. Fortunately enough, the first aid guy who looked at the eye allowed the fight to continue and Davy was victorious. But for the next number of hours, we were having to deal with Davy and Jordan in St. James's Hospital, ensuring that Davy's eye was glued instead of stitched so that he could box the next day. Yeah. And then he had to pass the medical in Dublin on Saturday morning. And that was then, while he was gone to St. James's, we were dealing with semi-finals for Christopher and Eugene. But when we go back then to finals night, you know, we had second fight was Ricky Nesbitt. Sixth fight was Chris O'Reilly. 10th fight is Davy Joyce, and 14th was Eugene. Myself and Martin, who done a lot of the corners, done all the corners that night, were just constantly coming down from the ring apron and, as you say, going back in to give the others the assistance that was required to refocus and talk about their fight and try and put the previous one in the background, you know. And while we were, you know, looking to celebrate with the boxers, we also knew we had to be level-headed to get the next guy in the right frame of mind. We knew the physical aspect was done. It's about fine-tuning, being mentally right, going into that final. And in Davies, I suppose, contest, we were still worried about the eye maybe opening up. And he was up against one of the hottest young talents in the country in Jason Nevin. But Davy Joyce, as I said, is a class act. An absolute diamond to work with. As I just call him, eco-friendly, because he always just does enough. Getting him to give you that extra 5% is a bit of a hard task, but always up for the contest. Always wants to be cleverer and outthink his opponent. And I think on Saturday night, without question of doubt, I remember saying to Martin after 2 minutes and 15 seconds of the first round, we have this.
Yeah.
Because we knew young Nevin was going to start strong, but the class and the experience of Davy Joyce was going to come to it, you know, at the forefront. And I think he showed that in round two and three, totally what we felt dominating the fight from then on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You mentioned there just about the opponents. So you knew about Jason Nevin being obviously prolific and one of the hottest young talents in the country, as you said. What about in the earlier rounds, or even for some of the, if you come against an opponent who's less well known, like, is it difficult to prepare ahead of the bouts, you know, when maybe you're trying to tailor your preparation or work out your game plan in order to you know, attack the weaknesses of the opponent at this elite level, which I'm sure makes all the difference? Or is it just a matter of literally trying to get your fighter in the right frame of mind? You know that the physical work has been done for months. Or is there really, is it hard to prepare tactically for that?
No, I think, you know, when you get to elite level, the physical aspect that takes care of itself. You know, none of these elite boxers are going to go into a championship without physically doing the training. Mentally, are they going to be astute and look at the different attributes that they have, the different skill sets that they have? You know, and from being around the boxing game for a number of years, I look at the different weight classes when I have a boxer involved, and I'll be able to pick out who's going to be really, I suppose, the next best competition in the way for us. And I look at it, I'll see, is he southpaw, is he orthodox, does he like coming forward, does he like going back, you know? And then you have to look at your own boxer and see what he likes to do. Mm-hmm. You know, because at the end of the day, as we say about elite boxing and high performance, we talk about high performance, we talk about mental fitness. It's about outwitting your opponent more than out-muscling your opponent, yeah, especially at elite level.
But is it hard to learn what maybe other people like doing, or is it just a matter of being in the game? You kind of know what reputation lads have, whether they like to come forward or take a step back. When you're trying to tailor your game plan for your own fighter to beat the other person, you know, is it hard to find that information out, or is it you just kind of pick up bits of knowledge from talking to other people?
Well, I suppose with being in the game for 40 years, I've been going up and down the stadium watching all these boxers. Like, you know, I spoke about Jason Nevin. There's some tremendous talents out there that could have come through over the next year or two. And when we talk about different game plans, you look at even Christopher O'Reilly. He boxed in an Irish intermediate stroke senior final in November against Gavin Rafferty from Delique, who's now with Dublin Docklands. And young Rafferty, fair and square, beat Christopher in the national final that day. So we knew when we got the draw for the elites, we were meeting the winner of Gavin and a guy called Jack Brady from Crumlin. So we had to change the game plan, and it was something that Christopher had to buy into too, change from what he previously done, and most importantly, get the negative aspect away from him in his mind.
Yeah,
you know, convincing him that he has the tools and the attributes to beat Gavin. And I think anyone that watched the semi-final, while it was a great contest, the right winner came out in the end, and that was Christopher. And I'm sure even Gavin himself would tell you he wouldn't mind swapping that intermediate title for the elite one.
Yeah, the prestige of the elite reigns supreme. And do you mind me asking, you know, obviously the tournament is done now, so I hope I'm not delving into any secrets, but what is it that, like, how do you go about convincing a fighter like that, you know, that's come against an opponent only a couple of months previous, and you'd say he's beaten him fair and square, that actually, Christopher, you know, if you do this or do that, you can do it. You know, is there an act to that? Is it just something that comes with experience, or what was involved?
Well, I think it comes a wee bit with experience, but again, you know, we speak about preparation, and I spoke to you earlier on about the international preparation that the club was able to provide for these young lads. But, you know, while everyone else was enjoying Christmas, on Christmas Eve, St. Stephen's Day, New Year's Eve, and all over the holiday period, all my boys were in the boxing club, training each morning, committing to the program. And, you know, as I said to you, to commit to the program, one, the coach has to believe in it, but the boxers then have to trust the coach that he's doing it for the detriment of the career. You know, Christopher O'Reilly knew in his heart of hearts he probably didn't perform to the level he needed to in that previous final. And, you know, simple actions. He was in sparring with Aidan Walsh, Olympic bronze medalist.
Yeah.
He was in sparring with Dean Clancy's brother, Jason, who was in the Irish final, numerous Irish titles. He sparred with Matthew McCall, international boxer. So all the boxers he was mixing it with, you know, gave him the confidence and allowed him over the period of time sparring to try new things, try to close distance down, which was going to be a massive play in the contest with Gavin.
Yes, I understand. So it's about trying things out with other people to try and tailor his fight to simply the mental approach as well as the tactical approach. Trust the mental process that the tactical thing will pay off in due course.
Yes, yes. And like, as I say to all these elite boxers nowadays too, you know, they're old enough to know their own body.
Yeah.
You and I do a day's walk. And Damien's over in the boxing club tonight and I have a program set out. But you've maybe had a physical day, you may be mentally shattered, you could have personal problems. So they've got to trust you a wee bit by releasing some information to you. You can then ease back on certain parts of the training program, you know, to suit their needs. Because if they've been physically whacked after a hard day's walk, you're just going to add to it by killing them in the gym. So it needs a correct balance. And I think most of the boys there, as I said, look at myself, look at Martin McQuillan, Noel Hazlett and all the coaches and say, these boys knows what they're talking about. You know, we've been to world championships ourselves, European championships. So if they're not going to learn from us, who will they learn?
Yeah, no, certainly. I can see how the balance of experience and trust and that sort of symbiotic relationship between the two really is a key factor. Just looking to the future, is sky the limit for these lads? We have the four winners, you know, Davy Joyce, Eugene McKeever, Ricky Nesbitt, Chris O'Reilly, not forgetting Jordan Smith as well, who was kind of unfortunate in the semi-final. Yeah. You know, Davy Joyce spoke afterwards, and we've talked a bit about him, about he would like to target the World Championships later in the year. I think Eugene McKeever mentioned after that he wants to go back into the National High Performance Unit. Ricky Nesbitt the same. Chris represented Ireland at underage level. You know, there's some serious potential there, isn't there?
Well, without a doubt, they've been invited into the high-performance unit for assessments next Friday and Saturday. So the four boxers will attend Abbottstown next week. You would be hoping at that stage then that a plan will be introduced by High Performance as to the training and competition schedule for the next couple of months. But these are big decisions that the boys have to make now too, because unfortunately, there's no payment for amateur boxing. So the requirement as part of the high performance unit is to train Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and a half day Friday. And while your bed and board is looked after, I suppose everything else is free gratis. So your income is no more if you've been in a job who won't support you to take part in this. So financial point of view, there is no money in it unless you are good enough to win at international level and get onto the Carden scheme.
If you think that more could be done to support these athletes to help them bridge that gap between the kind of national elite and the world elite, or is like people, you know, would hear talk about the boxing high performance unit. And I think when Billy Walsh was involved and, you know, we had all these medals from Olympic Games, it seemed to get a lot of praise. But do you think there's maybe some more could be done to help people, particularly in the financial side of things?
Yeah, well, I think from a development point of view, you know, we're looking at 17, 18, 19 year old young lads leaving school, having no job, and it may be being left to parents to fund their aspirations to be an international competitor. We need, I think, developmental grants. Well, I understand the government and Sport Ireland aren't going to come out and hand somebody 10 or 20,000 if he hasn't, you know, internationally proven himself.
Yeah.
But in order to get to that level and to take opportunities like High Performance are offering these boxes, some sort of financial aid needs to be made. Because, you know, as we talk about mental and physical training, mentally you're going to be affected when you've no money. you know. And while, as I say, the opportunity has been given by high performance by putting you up in a hotel and being fed, having no money in your pocket is certainly hard to smile when you go looking for it.
Completely, and I can understand how it really is a battle of endurance then, and a battle of wits, and, you know, susceptible to the pressures from home. I was going to ask the next question: is it possible that we might see potentially someone from Holy Family at the Olympics in Paris 2024? But I presume that might now be subject to the decision of these individuals whether or not they fully choose to commit to the National Performance Unit program, and that'll be a largely their own personal decision in terms of their own personal circumstances.
Well, first of all, I'd love to see boxing in Paris. That's not a definite yet either. Over the next couple of months, we're going to probably see a lot more happen at international level between the IBA and the Olympic Council. And then there's an alliance group that they're talking about with the Western countries going their separate ways. But that's something down the line. In relation to the Olympic Games, all the boys will be in the high performance unit, and the support staff that they have in the unit is exceptional. The like of Davy Joyce, who's to say they won't look at him for an assessment at 57 kg?
Yes, that's
that could be a possibility. Yeah. Ricky could be pushed up to 51 for an assessment. And whether or not the two boys then want to move weights either up or down, nutritionists, dietitians, and the different, as I say, the support staff will look at the boys over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And the first qualifier is not until June, so there's still plenty of time to decide whether or not an Olympic weight is possible. But I think, in general, for people who don't know the amateur scene and maybe don't follow boxing, I think it's, you know, over the last number of years or the last number of Olympic Games, boxing has suffered greatly. Like, we had 25 national champions crowned last Saturday night, and just over 50% are going to be allowed to take part in a qualifier for the Olympic Games in a sport that was in the Games at the very beginning, which is very hard to take.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I think you mentioned earlier, of course, boxing, certainly on the professional scene, has kind of suffered a degree of scandal with the fall from the MTK and its associations with those involved, allegedly involved in the Kinahan cartel as well. So is that something that you find, is boxing suffering reputationally, or is that something that's confined to the professional scene, do you think?
No, I think, you know, with the different issues that were, you know, publicised about the IABA in the last 12 to 18 months. We talk about the MTK side of things. The professional and the amateur game is totally different sports. You know, the pro game is a business. And whether it's MTK, whether it's Frank Warren, whether it's Barry Hearn, you know, it's a business. It's about making money. It's about getting success. Whereas in the amateur game, we're looking to put, you know, these young amateur boxers on a platform at Olympic Games, at World Championships, trying to, you know, win a medal for our country. And that will set them up for the pro game, giving them the option and the platform to maybe get a decent enough contract to make money. Because I've seen it firsthand with even the boys I've had in the last couple of months training with us. You know, they were as good as full-time, committing their time to a job, coming to the gym 4 and 5 days a week, spending weekends, Christmas time, you know, in the club when people are enjoying the holidays for free grants, you know. And, you know, the founding committee members, my own father, Christy, Barney, Jim, Anthony Rooney, Benny Smith, I just don't want to mention people and forget them. But
yeah, no,
the founding committee of the club were always about giving people and young people in the town the opportunity. And I think, you know, to see four lads, members of the Holy Family Boxing Club in Drogheda, on the international stage, representing the club, the town. And we need to get back, you know, give them the backing. And hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll have a couple more to add to this, because I just see continued success as long as, you know, the club can keep providing the platform for them.
Yeah, that's a nice way to wrap up very finally to ask what the future holds for the club, because, you know, you mentioned there, obviously, the four success this time. Is it a bit ambitious to be expecting four every year, or is there a conveyor belt of talent coming through, names for us to maybe keep an eye on?
Oh, absolutely. Like, look, I don't think we've been going back over the years seeing whoever had four winners. We've had different clubs had three and two winners and two runners up and different things. I mightn't be around to see the next four winners in a row, but we have loads of talent coming through. It's keeping the boxers you know, when they get to 16, 17, 18, they have decisions to make, college, apprenticeships, full-time jobs, you know, and they have their own peer pressure outside of the family. So to keep them involved in the game is very, very important. And it's one of the reasons why, and I can't express my thanks enough to not only the committee, but as I said to you earlier on about All Mac Life, they've allowed a lot of young people the opportunity to travel the world. You know, we've brought kids as young as 12 and 13 to Gleason's gym in New York for a small fee. I think at the time it was €200, and they got a tracksuit and a week in America. You know, that was a dream trip for some of them people.
Yeah.
And whether they stayed in the game right till the very end and won an elite title didn't matter. We personally believe that we've created a number of very, very good individuals who've gone on to use the betterment of what they learned in the club in their own life then going forward.
No, that's super. And it certainly is a great testament to the whole organisation, the whole collaborative effort that's involved in terms of the sponsor side, the committee, the coaches, and everyone buying into it. And as you say, it's not just about what happens in the ring, but it's about what happens when your career finishes and how you better yourself as an individual. A lot of it because from the discipline involved and from everyone pulling the one direction. So look, it's a great project. It sounds exciting. I'm sure we'll all be keeping an eye on it. Damien McKenna, congratulations again for last week. A really great achievement for the Holy Family Club. Doing Drogheda proud. And thank you very much for speaking to me.
Thank you. Thanks, James.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.